This is the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. And Jesus said, "In those days after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. And so also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Be aware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It's like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And I say, what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Where you'll be. In the days of Jesus, the Roman Empire was in charge. And the Roman cult, the way of thinking about the world, was everywhere. It was the Hellenistic way of viewing the world. And it was a way that was in many ways different than our way of seeing the world today. Instead of science and logic, the happenings of the world were determined by the whims of some very capricious deities, gods. If you read the stories of Roman and Greek mythology, this world into which Jesus and the Jews of his time were born into and living under, you see the whims of the world being guided and guarded and controlled by some questionable characters. Gods and goddesses, mighty beasts and heroes that just seem to influence things at their whim. And those deities, those powers, those celestial beings were seen in the sky at night. The celestial bodies, the planets that we know, Mercury, Venus, Mars, Saturn, Jupiter, these were named for the gods. And as the gods moved about upon their own will, so the Romans and the Greeks before them named the planets after their gods, these heavenly bodies that seemed to move in their own passages. I have a body moving on its own passage up here. Hi. The names Sol, Luna, names that we call our sun and our moon, these are also the names of gods. The constellations at night were the gods and the mythological beasts that controlled and influenced the world, and they were seen every night. And we don't generally believe in the planets being the gods, in the stars, constellations being heavenly beasts. We know a little more about the cosmos now to know how the planets move around the sun and how the stars are arrayed in universes and constellations in our own universe way beyond our own solar system. We don't generally believe that these powers have a lot of influence, though astrology does seem to be making a comeback these days, where we ascribe our personalities, our tendencies, our ways of being to the stars in which we're born under. We don't generally ascribe the same level of deity to these, though. And yet, we do believe that God does tend to show up in finite ways. When Jesus says this word of prophecy and apocalypse, Jesus talks about the sun being darkened, the moon not giving its light, the stars falling from the heavens, the powers of the heavens being shaken. Jesus is saying to his people, these powers that you put your trust in, there will be a day when they fail. Like I said, we don't generally believe in the deity of the planets anymore, but we do believe that God shows up in people. We do ascribe a certain level of value and importance, a deep level of value and importance, I might even say, to parts of our lives that are yet finite. Maybe it's in a pastor or in a congregation. Maybe it's how God showed up for us in the care of our parents, or how God shows up for us in the love of a child who was here, back there, or the mischievousness of one. We do believe God shows up in the blessings of our life, and we search for God in the way that God shows up in the ways that our life, well, doesn't go the way we plan. In our theology, we believe that God uses means of grace to come to us and to speak in our life. That means that we believe that in the finite book of Scripture, there is the word of the eternal. In the finite blessing of bread and wine, there is the eternal. That these finite things can hold the infinite God. And yet, it is important also to realize that those finite things in which God works, through which God works, through which God shows up for us in our life, even though they carry God, they are not God. God works through the people and the experiences of our lives, but the people and the experiences of our lives are not God. The vessel is not the thing it carries. The glass of water is not the refreshing drink inside. And it's important to remember that, especially when the sun is darkened, when the moon stops giving its light, when the stars fall from the heavens, when the powers in the heavens are shaken. Because there are indeed times in all of our lives where those powers fail. For me, it was early in my life, when the power that I had ascribed to my parents was shaken when they announced that they were getting a divorce. It was again in my life when Eden was born, who's very active and walking around now. But when he was born, as many of you know, he was diagnosed with spinal muscular atrophy, a disease in which he would never be able to walk around and cause trouble during worship. And in those moments, for me, in my life, those were the days when the sun was darkened, when the powers of the heavens were shaken. And when I realized that I had put some of my trust, some of my own well-being, in something that was less than God. Jesus tells us that on that day, when the powers are shaken, when the stars fall from the sky, when the moon ceases to give its light, on that day, what is going to happen? In the hiddenness of the clouds, in the murkiness of fog, the Son of Man, the human one, who we know through our faith as Jesus Christ, God incarnate, will come in power and glory and gather, and will gather us to him. Will gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven, in that day when all of the things are failing, God will gather you in. Because God will yet remain. Though the representatives of the holy in our lives might fail, the holy itself remains. The vessel is not the thing it carries. Ultimately, God can work through our parents. God can work through our health. But when our health fails, when our parents fall short, when the relationships in our life break, when there is death, when there is pain, when all of the things that we had put our trust in that were less than God do not live up to God, where will you be? Because we don't know when that day will come. If we could guide our lives in such a way as to avoid all of those troubling moments, we certainly would. If we could avoid tragedy in our lives, we absolutely would. And yet we cannot, because we're finite people. We can't see all things in the way God can. We can't understand all things in the way God can. We can't control all things. And in the freedom that God gives us, we find our way in the finiteness of life into moments when suddenly everything goes wrong. And there's no telling where you will be when that happens. About that day or hour, no one knows. But I do know this. I do know where you will be on that day. On that day, when the other things in your life fall short, when those things that you had put your life's value in, that were beyond yourself and less than God, when they break and they fail, you will still be in you. For at the end of the day, when everything else falls away, you still remain. You will be in you. And in you, in that what remains, and when everything else is burned away, then the only thing left will be you, child of God, made in the image of God. God will be in you, and you will be gathered to God. In the book of Revelation, the prophecy says, every eye will see the one who comes in these clouds, in the hiddenness of life, even those who pierced him. Reminding us of the cross and the crucifixion. And as we welcome Jesus into the world, we welcome a Jesus who comes in the midst of all of the brokenness of life and who experiences it fully. Who on the cross
says, God, where are you? I don't see you. Why have you forsaken me? And then in the next breath, says, into your hands, God, whom I can no longer see, I commend my spirit. For even when everything falls away, even our ability to see God, God remains. And you will be in God, and God will be in you. And you will be you, and you are holy, child of God. Amen.